Welcome to the latest edition of the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast, brought to you by Qubit, the trusted experts in analytics. Our goal is to cut through the jargon and hype around analytics and data science and share practical advice to guide you on your analytics journey. You can find us at qubit.com, that's Q-U-E-B-I-T.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'm A.G. Tan. When you examine a beautiful executive dashboard or study a perfectly formatted report, it's easy to be blind to the amount of effort that went into creating it. It's like watching a top athlete in competition. We don't usually think about the years and years of training and sweat that made the performance possible. In the field of analytics, which is the science behind dashboards and reporting, the sweat comes from wrangling the data, and boy, can data be hard to wrangle. Well, sadly, no one yet has harnessed the power of magic to fix data quality and other data issues. There are a bunch of great tools available. We're going to talk about one of them today. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today on the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. I'm A.G. Tan, your host. Today, I have a geeky treat for you. We are going to talk through something called data virtualization and peel away the mystery so that even if you don't know how to spell SQL or database, you will be equipped to ask good questions if it ever comes up. My guest today is Keith Harlan, who is a Qubit Master Consultant, Senior Architect, and an expert on all things data related. Welcome, Keith.
Hi, AG.
Keith, thank you so much for being here. So let's start with maybe you can tell us what data virtualization is. Give us a general idea or a high-level description.
Sure. I think the easiest way to think of it is kind of like one-stop shopping for corporate information or corporate data. It's a place that you can go, a single source where you can find information about your corporation, regardless of whether it's in your accounting system or your order entry system or your CRM system. It's, if you think about the older kind of similarity as a data warehouse where you've taken all this information from different systems and consolidated it into one place so that you can do some type of reporting against it, integrated reporting. Data virtualization is similar, but you don't actually have to move data anywhere. You basically map over the different sources. So whenever you want to look at something, you're looking at it pretty much in real time from the different locations. And like I said, it's instead of me having to go to one system to look for information and another system to look for other types of information and then another system, it gives you a portal into your corporate information.
So let me see if I can paraphrase that to make sure I got that right. So let's pretend I'm interested in getting a full picture of everything I've been doing with a particular customer, say.
Okay.
So perhaps I might need to go to my general ledger system or my ERP system to sort of see how much money they still owe us or how much we've sold them. And I might need to go to our CRM system to see how our sales team has been interacting with them and whether they've been calling our support desk. And I might need to go somewhere else to find out about the products that they've bought. And so instead of going to all of those three places where the data, where they might even, have different customer IDs even, and putting all that together, you're saying that with data virtualization, I could get a sort of view into all of those places in one place without actually having to move the data somewhere and unify it physically.
Right. It's kind of like a customer 360, right? So let's say kind of in the scenario that you just described, I want to know what orders have been placed and I want to know who at the company places the most orders. Or there have been complaints because some orders aren't being delivered right. So I also need to go and look at our order distribution, our distribution system to see how fulfillment's going. Right now, I'd have to go into the CRM system to see who the contacts are. Then I'd have to go to the order entry system to see, and to your point on the CRM system, it may show me somebody who's complained about orders or been happy about orders. Go to the order entry system to tie that person to the orders that they've actually placed. And then from that, if I see that some orders weren't met by promise date, go to the distribution system and say, or fulfillment system, and see what happened there. So in this case, what you're trying to do is you're trying to say, I'm going to put a map over that. I'm going to put a layer over all of that. So I can go to one place and say, show me this information tied together, kind of like in a simple single report or view.
And so in the old days, you mentioned the term data warehouse. So some companies would solve this problem by building a data warehouse, which is really a completely different data repository, right, where you would actually bring in data from different places. And data virtualization is an alternative way of solving that problem. Is that actually,
I should probably rephrase that. I use the data warehouse as kind of an example of combining data. This type of solution that we're talking about is more around operational reporting, which is pretty much current state of the company. But it's still the same concept, but we're trying to combine information together to do reporting. And a lot of times you'll see dashboard software sitting on top of an operational data store, which is another place. It's another way of moving data together so that you can get a single view of it. The reason I make that distinction is that most data virtualization software isn't really to replace your data warehouse. It's really to help you maybe get rid of an operational data store. You still have to keep your history somewhere, and that's typically stored in a data warehouse.
Okay.
But for the real-time reporting type of information, you can do that oftentimes with a data virtualization layer instead of an operational data store.
Right. So thank you for that clarification. So let me imagine it this way then. A lot of companies would have data warehouses. You could use data virtualization for some of the things that you might be using a data warehouse for, but they're not, you know, not exactly the same thing.
Exactly. That's true. That's a correct statement.
All right, great. Thank you for that. From what you just explained, I'm really starting to understand the value of data virtualization for operational reporting and real-time reporting, right? Because sometimes there's a delay if you're doing your reporting off a data warehouse and it might take a while for the data to get from wherever it's collected to the data warehouse. So perhaps you can help deepen our understanding a little bit more by telling us about another use case.
Sure. So that's kind of like in the operational world, but let's say I'm doing some kind of reporting or some analytics or even machine learning against data that I've already got in like a data warehouse, some historical information. And say I'm a transportation company and I've suddenly been able to get all of this telemetry information from my vehicles. I've never had it in my data warehouse before, but I find it would really be good for my machine learning algorithms to hit that data. But I don't want to take the time right now to do a bunch of ETL process, extract, transform, load, the way you get information into a data warehouse. Because this may be throwaway, and we may find that after we've looked at it, it really didn't provide any value. So with a data virtualization layer, again, you can map that data into your overall corporate view, run your analysis against that, paired with your information you've already got in your data warehouse, and do two things. See if you can find any insights that you can act upon, and validate whether the data is worth anything. If you do find out that it's really good and you know you continue to get it, the next step might be to incorporate that into your data warehouse. But rather than going through that process all up front and finding out that you really didn't get any benefit out of it, it's a great way to do some maybe what if situations with your data to see, is this data worth doing anything with?
That's really interesting. So you're saying that it's possible, or that data virtualization lends itself to being more of a agile, rapid prototyping tool for exploring data and you know, trying to figure out whether it's valuable or not?
Absolutely. In fact, you could use it for that purpose alone, I believe, at a company and get great benefit out of it, even if you don't augment any of your other systems. A lot of times people get frustrated in the business world because they have this new information, but they can't easily get to it. And they talk to their IT department and they're backlogged with a lot of projects. So, okay, how do we get this done? We can't get it done because the normal process for ETL extract, you know, the extract transform load usually takes a little bit because you have to validate all this information to get it in these fixed structures. Data virtualization gives you a layer where you're not, it's not as rigid. You can kind of come up with common definitions for types of information that you have, and you can get go to market with it much, much quicker. So like I said, it's not really a replacement for data warehousing, but it's a great, as you said, agile tool to do prototyping, rapid prototyping, to see if the information is valuable, or even if you know it's valuable, different ways to combine it with other information that does it, so it doesn't take you months to get that data. It may take you a day, 2 days to get that information, possibly even sooner.
Yeah, you know, that I can see a huge value in that. A lot of the time when I've been a consultant at companies, people really don't know what they have in terms of data, and just being able to get to it and explore it, you know, easily and make those determinations is very helpful, right? It can save a lot of time.
Well, exactly. And in my history, what I've found is there's a lot of times where you may have some very valuable information, but measuring the time it's going to take to make it available versus the potential value often just eliminates the even possibility of using it. But now, if you know you can get to that data very quickly, you don't have to go through these big project planning meetings and say, I need, you know, 40 FTE hours just to get this piece done, and, you know, 80 FTE hours to get this other piece done. It's okay, we've got somebody that can map this for us, and we might be able to get this done in a day, 2 days, to be able to at least explore the data, maybe 4 hours, I mean, or less. It depends on your environment. It's not a magic wand, but it certainly makes it much quicker to be able to view your information. And like I said, rather than going through all those expensive, you know, the time consuming project planning meetings for, you know, out weeks, months, whatever, you can now do something very quickly and determine whether it's something you even want to do or not.
So really days, not weeks or months?
Sure.
Oh, that sounds great.
Now, the caveat is that the person or persons you have using the data virtualization tool are well-trained in it and they're familiar with it, because once they learn how the product works, it's very easy to map different data sources. So there is a little bit of a ramp-up time, but once you're there, you can get things into the system very quickly.
That sounds great. In the final section of the podcast, I always like to look for advice or tips and tricks to help people get on their way. And since the data area is very broad for companies, perhaps a good way to approach it is for you to talk about good use cases and bad use cases for data virtualization. Is that a good way to go?
Sure. So let's talk about a couple of good use cases. We've spoken about a few, but, you know, if you've got relatively mature data that's been cleaned up fairly well, so that you, if you have multiple systems and you have customer information, you're pretty consistent on how you use your customer identifiers, that type of thing. That's a great case for virtualization, and virtualization will work well there. However, if you've got a situation where you store customer information in system A one way, customer identifier in system B is another way, the key for a customer in another system is another way, and you have to do a lot of manipulation to put them together, that's when you're going to struggle there, because the data virtualization platforms do very well. They're more mature than they were 10 years ago about, you know, building the right types of queries for the target systems, but you can't fix broken data with a virtualization layer. It's just not going to happen. So if you want to use one, you need to kind of make sure that the data you're working with is in pretty decent shape. And that's true for any company anyway. Another scenario is, it's great for, like I said, operational reporting, where you want to look at different systems. But for historical data, for real-time historical data, you don't want to hit operational systems when you're returning a million rows of data, because that's going to bring your operational systems to their knees, and actually is one of the reasons people started building decision support or data warehouse systems in the first place, because you wanted to isolate your operational systems, the systems that make you money, from your reporting systems, because they're different use cases. So that's two reasons that you might you know, couple good use cases, a couple bad use cases. Good use case, you've got good quality data, easy to integrate, no problem. Bad use case, bad quality data, you're going to have issues and you need to clean it up before you try to use virtualization. However, one of the things you can use it for, we talked about the agile approach to getting data into your system. Since you can map the data very easily, you have a shorter time to delivery for data quality statistics. So I can actually do profiling against the data, figure out what's wrong with it, get it fixed, and now incorporate it into my virtualization layer as a trusted source of information. Does that help at all?
No, that's very helpful, though I'm sad that you can't do magic to fix my data quality issues.
Well, they're still working on that. You know, I think it's a little ways off, but I think they're still working on the magic wand that will fix all data issues. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll see it before I retire, though.
So if I were a customer that thought that they had a potential good use case for data virtualization.
Yes.
But I wasn't 100% sure, would you or other colleagues at Qubit be able to help me do a quick assessment?
Certainly.
Which direction I should go in?
Sure, we come in and do a quick, we would do some of the things I talked about. We'd profile some of your data that you have, kind of get a feel from you. Which systems you think you would be the most beneficial to integrate this information from. And we could paint a picture for you of what we think, how mature your environment is and how well you could use virtualization. And we're typically talking about maybe a week-long engagement, two at the max.
All right. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Keith. I've enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, AG. Anytime.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Do you have anything you would like to ask Qubit about analytics? You can tweet us at AskQubit or email us at info@qubit.com. That's info@qubit.com. Until next time.